The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Leng. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our look at the neutral cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. This is part two of the two-part series in which we take a look at the neutral upgrades. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a plus one, zero, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Bless Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with part two of our look at the neutral cards in the revised core set. This time we're going to take a look at the five upgrades that are available, starting off with Bulletproof Vest. It is a two-cost asset that costs three experience points. It has a combat and wild skill icon, the item and armor traits. It enters play with four health and takes up a body slot. If you need extra health, you can't really go wrong. Not really going to use the body slot for anything else. I guess my only issues with this card is that 3 XP seems a little pricey for a copy of this. And it occurred to me actually today for the first time looking at this card that the combat skill icon is a little bit odd, simply because I tend to pick this up in investigators who aren't very good at fighting in the first place. The squishier seekers and stuff like that who might actually need the extra health. And a combat skill icon doesn't really help them, although... to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure what other icon you could put. Like, combat or agility would make the most sense. Yeah. So I guess I prefer agility, but what do you guys think of this one?
I've upgraded into Bulletproof Vest a couple of times, pretty much for the exact same reason that you laid out. You know, I'm a squishy seeker or something like that. I have some extra experience at the end of a campaign. I grab a copy of this. Thankfully, it doesn't cost too much in resources. So it's pretty easy to get down on the board pretty quickly, so you don't have to worry about it being stuck in your hand. And if it is stuck in your hand, at the very worst, if you are playing a squishy seeker, it has a wild icon on it, which you can use for something. And if you really need it for two fist icons, then it's there.
Yeah, I think the strength of this card, I think this starts getting stronger if you're about midway, more than midway through a campaign, and you've suffered some physical trauma. Then this really helps back you up by providing that extra health, because four health is a lot. I don't think this is as good as Leather Coat, because it does cost XP and it does cost some resources. But I think after you've taken some trauma, this is pretty decent.
I actually I think this is better once you expand your card pool a little bit, maybe like in your first or second campaign when you don't have a ton of options and upgrades, and you, like you said, you've taken some trauma, maybe like scenario 5 or scenario 6. But yeah. I feel like the core box is just too short of a campaign to really utilize that. So I think it's pretty much only useful in Daisy and maybe Agnes.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Nate, that the revised core campaign only being 3 scenarios, you really don't... generate enough trauma, or at least hopefully you won't generate enough trauma that you really need something like this. These sorts of upgrades are really late campaign considerations, I think, like you said, Matastrophic. This is not the first card you're going to pick up, probably not your second or third. You're going to play a bunch of scenarios and just sort of watch how the game unfolds. I think if you're playing multiplayer, the odds of you upgrading into this are even less likely, because if you're playing Daisy, you should have a guardian around who's going to protect you, keep the enemies at bay, so her squishiness really doesn't become that relevant. I have upgraded to this playing solo with Seekers, where I did take some trauma, and I did need to protect myself. And when in that position, it did win me a game. So I can't be too hard on it. How would you rate this one?
This card is very niche. It's like, it's good in the circumstances that you want it, but by and large, it's generally a little too expensive as far as experience goes. Kind of hard to evaluate, honestly. I feel bad like giving it an elder thing because it's pretty solid in what it does, but that kind of feels the most appropriate because it's not quite a zero for me, just due to leather code existing.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd give it a zero because of the fact that it's a body slot, and there's not a lot of competition for body slots. And also, I get the feeling that the investigators who do want this probably don't have anything else in the body slot, like at all, that they want. Yeah, so I'd give it a zero. It's filler. It's got a use. It's fine.
Yeah, I think I'm torn between a zero and an elder thing. I'm going to give it a zero, I think, because it did win me a game once when I was really low on health, and I drew this and was able to drop it on the table and complete the scenario successfully afterwards. As your card pool expands, it gets harder and harder to justify this card, simply because if you're playing a guardian, guardians receive a lot of cards that allow them to soak. So it's tough to justify spending the 3 XP on this in a guardian. And I think the other classes that might be interested in this, barring you taking a ton of trauma, usually between your allies and cards like Holy Rosary and other assets like that, you can generally get by okay. So I don't see it being played that often, but it does serve a purpose if you do get unlucky and take some trauma. And there is one particular campaign, The Forgotten Age, where trauma is the dishes out trauma like it's Halloween candy. So be prepared for that, I guess. That brings us to the sanity equivalent of the Bulletproof Vest. This is the Elder Sign Amulet, 2 cost asset that costs 3 experience points, 2 willpower skill icon and wild skill icon. Item and relic has 4 sanity and takes up an accessory slot. Again, soaks 4 horror, has 2 willpower icons if necessary. Again, feels a little pricey at 3 XP per, and it does take up an accessory slot, which is a lot more competitive than the body slot is in most investigators.
Yeah, and Holy Rosary exists, and comparing this to Holy Rosary is kind of rough, you know, because Holy Rosary gives you that willpower boost, which can often be a way to soak sanity in the first place. It also doesn't cost experience. It is nice that this does have 2 willpower skill icons, though.
Mm-hmm.
So that is nice. Say, like, you draw it late in the game and you can't play it, like you've already played Police Badge or something like that, and you just play this to commit it to a Rotting Remains and you pass or something like that. That can be useful, but yeah, like you said, the accessory slot just has so much more competition going for it that it's hard to justify playing this.
Yeah, and the accessory slot it's most often a slot that you're really wanting to use to really enhance your deck concept, whether it's like Holy Rosary, that's like the perfect example, to be honest, or like an Agnes deck that's really trying to make use of the Heirloom of Hyperborea. If you're a Wendy deck that's trying to fail test and use Lucky Rabbit's Foot. Oh, right, and then there's the rogue card, Lucky Cigarette Case, that I think got mentioned at one point. Very much a cornerstone. Or Police Badge. Yeah, these are all cards that are going to like really push your concept forward. So the fact, and those are all accessories. So the fact that Elder Sign Amulet is also an accessory kind of makes that a bit tougher to stomach.
Yeah, and there's something that sort of occurred to me, like, and maybe this is the true for Bulletproof Vest as well, but I was thinking about the times when I've been playing Roland and say I've taken a bunch of trauma and I'm very tempted to try to pick up Elder Sign Amulet. It almost feels like you're shooting yourself in the foot in a way, in that suddenly you've taken a couple traumas roll and you've got to spend 3 to 6 experience points to pick up this card just to survive. Thus, you know, you probably, if you've suffered that trauma and you're may not have earned a lot of experience points in the previous scenarios, and suddenly you're like, okay, so I had this cool idea for a roll and build. All of a sudden, I've got to spend 3 to 6 experience points just to stay alive. And then often it turns out to be a race. Can I draw my Elder Sign Amulet before I die? If I get it, okay, I've got a chance. If I don't, then I'm in trouble. And so, yeah, I'm not crazy. I mean, the 2 icons are nice, and of course the 4 sanity is nice. But yeah, I guess when I look at it that way, I really have trouble with these sorts of upgrades. I feel like if you're purchasing things like the Elder Sign Amulet or Bulletproof Vest, things have gotten pretty dire. And you're really going to, even if you have them, you're going to struggle in upcoming scenarios.
Like you said, Elder Sign Amulet almost feels too little too late at 3 experience, where it's like, you really want this to cost like 1, maybe 2. Yeah. And with there being so much more competition in that slot, like, you're really sacrificing a lot. And generally the investigators that have low sanity are guardians or guardian-esque type investigators, and they need to spend their experience getting weapons. And within the context of the revised core set, Roland is very much a glass cannon in that regard. You know, I think you kind of build him to just deal out tons of damage, and that's pretty much it, while grabbing clues along the way. I feel like if you're trying to grab Elder Sign Amulet, like you said, Man from Ling, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Fortunately, Roland gets I've Had Worse level 4, which is way better than this for Roland.
So how would we rate this one?
I think I gotta give this a tentacle, despite it having 2 matching skill icons, which I think is a first for me. It costs too much in experience, and it's not gonna, it doesn't do what you want it to do, which is save you from dying to sanity.
Yeah, I think I have to agree, actually. It's because you gotta, like, sacrifice, like, what could be a cornerstone of your deck in order to play Elder Sign Amulet in the accessory slot. It's 3 XP. It's a lot. Yeah, I agree. This is not very good. And I feel like from what you were saying there, Mr. Lang, about how you already had a bad beat, and now you gotta spend 3 XP to recover from that bad beat, that's a lot. It's not often that you get like 8 XP yet still get defeated. You know, that doesn't happen. You either get like 2 XP and get defeated, or you get 8 XP and you win the scenario. Yeah, yeah. So like getting defeated and then spending 3 XP, oh gosh, that's a lot.
Yeah, I think I've got to go back and revise my thing for Bulletproof Vest. I think I'm going to give both of these Elder Signs, or not Elder Signs, Elder Things. I mean, they're cards you can play, but yeah, when I think about my experience with them, you know, outside of the one game where, you know, I dropped a Bulletproof Vest and it saved me, I've also been in that situation where I've been playing Roland. I had a bad run through a scenario. I've taken some trauma, maybe the double whammy from, you know, cover up and being defeated. I'm like, well, how do I recover from this? And I've looked at this thing and it's just like, oh, now I'm spending 6 experience, you know, 3 to 6 experience points just trying to recover and not advancing my strategy in any real way. Not picking up cards that are going to help me win, but picking up cards that are going to help me survive. And I don't think surviving is enough. I think if you're just trying to survive, you're probably gonna have a bad time, because upgrading your beat cop, making you able to kill those enemies faster and more efficiently, is probably a better choice than trying to preserve your sanity.
Or I've Had Worse.
Or I've Had Worse.
That'll preserve your sanity and give you more resources.
Yeah.
And block damage while you're at it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think in the original core, this was probably Roland's go-to card, right? And now that they've added I've Had Worse, this one just doesn't really have a home anymore, to be honest. So, yeah, it might even slip down to tentacle status. I think it's teetering on the edge by one of its little star points into the edge of tentacle.
I would Can we just point out the irony that the Elder Sign amulet is getting a tentacle? I just want to point that out.
Yeah. For such an iconic, for what you would expect to be a very iconic card in the Arkham Horror LCG, it's unfortunately not a very good one. That brings us to Emergency Cash Level 2, one of the new additions to the revised core. Free event, 2 XP, supply trait, gain 3 resources, and draw a card. Like I said during the review of Emergency Cash, I often find that the level 0 version does enough, and this is one of those, hey, it'd be nice to have, but I've got other priorities for my XP, and this one often just never rises to the top.
Yeah, this feels like Lucky Level 2 to me as well.
Yep.
Kind of the same vein. I guess it literally is in the same vein. They both just draw you a card for that extra 2 experience. And yeah, sure, that's nice, but I feel like most investigators that are playing Emergency Cash have much more important things to spend their experience on.
Yeah, it's a pure luxury upgrade. There is a corner case for this card, though. I think when we were talking about some of the Guardian cards, we brought up the permanent stick to the plan. I think Emergency Cash Level 2 actually is pretty good if you put it on your stick to the plan, because you're guaranteed to, from turn one, you have the ability to gain 3 resources and draw a card. And that getting a more explosive start, guaranteed, thanks to stick to the plan, I think is worth quite a bit.
Also
But
be
other than that,
decent.
it's what's that?
I was gonna say it could
What's that?
also be decent in Safina Russo as well, where
True.
you could double it up, which could be
True.
decent as well.
Yeah, it's a pure luxury upgrade.
Yeah, it is a luxury upgrade. Especially when you play solo, one of the things you have to get accustomed to between playing multiplayer and solo is that the n amount of experience points you earn in solo play tends to be lower than that in multiplayer, simply because in multiplayer you've got the luxury of time. You can go explore all the locations and kill all the enemies that have VPs. In solo play, you often can't do that, and so you tend to earn slightly less XP. So that XP usually goes into the top priorities for your decks, such as weapons or assets or allies and stuff like that. And I just often don't find I have the extra XP for something like this. I am a little surprised they didn't put the level 3 version of this card in. The level 3 version from the Pallid Mask lets you gain 4 resources or place 4 supply tokens on assets controlled by investigators, which would give you a way of refilling Flashlight, which I think would be useful. But yeah, again, it's I think it's rare that you'd be picking up either level of these. How would we rate this one?
I'd give it a 0. It's fine, but I'm not like itching to upgrade to Emergency Cash Level 2.
Yeah, it's a tough one because if you can afford 2 XP and your deck is fine and you don't need to upgrade anything else, there you go. Upgrade your emergency cash. I guess like if I look at it as like the card itself, like I think it's a plus one.
Yeah, I think it is a tough one to rate because the card ability itself is very good.
Yeah.
Whether you want to upgrade to it is that's a bigger question. So yeah, I'll give it a plus one, but with a big proviso that chances are, especially if you're playing in the revised core set campaign to start off with, this is not the card that you should be upgrading to. This is, unless you have really blown it out of the water and you've earned more XP than you can possibly earn in the 2 scenarios leading up to the the finale. Yeah, I don't think this one is going to make the cut all that often. That brings us to one of the big additions to the revised core. That is Charisma Level 3 permanent, which means that it starts the game in play, will cost you 3 experience points. Talent, you have one additional ally slot. The ally slot is probably the most competitive slot in the game. There are tons of fantastic allies that you would love to play, but you only start with one ally slot, so you often have to be very picky. This helps you relieve that pressure by giving you an additional ally slot so you can have two allies on the table. When this was initially released in the Essex County Express, it was often one of the first upgrades that many people would pick up. As we were talking about before we started this review, I think there's a lot of nuance to whether you want to buy charisma or not. It's excellent, don't get me wrong, but you know, there have been many a campaign where I have picked up charisma thinking I would need it and then never end up in a situation where I have two allies on the table at the same time, which makes me regret my purchase.
I found myself to be in similar situations as well. I think part of it is that generally when I build my decks, I'm focused more on like building the initial concept of the level zero concept and then seeing if I will upgrade the ally later on. And if I do, then it becomes the question of, well, do I want a second ally constantly in play? And how often is that really going to happen? And do I have enough card draw to ensure that I'm drawing both of those allies early on in the game to maximize the benefit from those? I think, like, in the case of, you know, somebody like Wendy, who has all the money in the world to be able to spend on allies like Leo DeLuca and Peter Sylvester, then that's the gravy train. But I think in most investigators, you're pretty hard up for cash, and allies are pretty expensive.
Yeah. That being said, though, allies also tend to have very good health and sanity values. You know, for them, for being like on a single card, they tend to have both health and sanity, and often you can get allies with two health and two sanity. Another thing you can do with charisma that I like a lot is you can have your favorite ally that you keep on the board, and then you have this like revolving door of allies that are there to come into play, soak some damage or horror, and go away, and then get replaced by the next one. And charisma really helps you do that. I think charisma just opens up a lot of fun concepts that you need more than one ally out on the board to play. And even if you only need one ally, the fact that you can use the second ally slot for your soak allies is pretty good by itself, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because now looking at Bulletproof Vest and Elder Sign Amulet, it's like, do I spend 6 experience putting 2 of these in my deck, or do I spend 3 experience just to have True. 2 sources of soak on the board? And True. Charisma yep. can sort of feel like it trivializes those two cards a bit.
You're totally correct. That being said, that is dependent on which allies you have access to in your collection.
I do think Roland is one of the better targets for charisma, because he has BCOP and Guard Dog, and that's a ton of soak and a ton of damage that he gets. So
that's right. He could play 2 BCOP level 2s.
And they're
Yeah.
And they're both allies that you want to keep in play, and ideally maybe even heal with first aid or something like that. So I think Roland is a really good target for charisma. Wendy might be another good target as well, because Leo DeLuca plus Stray Cat plus whatever else.
Cat Burglar.
Yep, Cat Burglar as well. So
Yeah,
that's the point I wanted to ask you guys, was whether outside of the revised core environment, charisma often gets picked up because there are just so many allies with so many cool abilities, and they come with plenty of soak that often you want to play 2 different allies for 2 different effects, or just to be able to soak a ton of damage and horror. But within the revised core set environment, Roland, I think, is a good choice for this, because he does have Beat Cop and Guard Dog, which are 2 solid allies. Daisy, probably not, because Research Librarian comes in, does its job, dies, and then you bring in Dr. Mylan Christopher to finish that up.
Okay.
Unless maybe you're playing a spell-slinging Daisy where you want Dr. Mylan and Arcane Initiate on the table at the same time. Agnes basically has Arcane Initiate, I guess, if you want Stray Cat too. Probably not. We're not playing Aquina, so she probably doesn't need it. Wendy has some options. Skids, he's got some pretty good options as well.
Yeah, because of Cat Burglar. Cat Burglar makes a really good second ally.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'd kind of to jump on the point of Daisy playing Charisma, though, is like, if you want to play Arcane Initiate, you're already playing Old Book of Lore in your deck. And that's essentially the same thing, but better, because it doesn't rely on you having to pick a spell out of the three cards. And you get that extra action for free every turn anyway. So, yeah, I feel like it'd be a trap to play in Daisy. And especially because those allies don't provide you with the soak that you really want, which is health.
So how would we rate Charisma?
I think the investigators that want to take it, like Roland, Wendy, this is probably an Elder Sign. And as you expand your card pool, this card becomes pretty compelling in a lot of decks. I think that being said, I do think it's easy to fall into the trap of auto-including Charisma and then trying to kind of justify it post hoc. Whereas I think with Charisma, you kind of, you need to have an idea of what you're going to be doing as far as deck building goes when you put Charisma in your deck. So
yeah, that's totally fair. I'd give it another sign as well. Ooh, plus one.
Yeah, I think within the confines of the core set, it gets a plus one. And then obviously as you build your card pool, it shoots up into Elder Sign status just because there's so many allies that have awesome effects.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Elder Sign, it can be though somewhat XP intensive way of getting a lot of additional soak into your deck. It expands on your deck's capabilities. It expands on the it gives you new deck concepts, you know, that revolving around the combination of allies that you couldn't do before. Yeah, it's definitely something like it's going to be close to your, you know, close to the front of your brain when you're thinking about how to upgrade.
Yeah, I think I would give this one a plus one within the context of the revised core, simply because I think for investigators who would be interested in this, like Roland and Skids and Wendy, I think they have better options, at least in the short campaign that the revised core set provides. You can probably get away without needing the two allies, because then you've got to pay, like this is a 3 XP tax on having two allies, and then you've got to basically buy the allies on top of that. So you're going to be spending, if you're going Charisma, you're going to be committing quite a bit of your XP to that. So say Wendy would be like this, so 3 plus 1 for Leo, or 2 for Leo, so you're up to 5, plus maybe 2 for Cat Burglar, you're up to 7, which is quite a bit in the revised core set campaign. So if you're looking at doing some of the other builds that we talked about, you know, Roland looking at upgrading his weapons with, say, Beat Cop and First Aid or something like that, I don't necessarily think Charisma is going to be part of that build for, say, Guard Dog as well. Like, I don't think you're going to earn enough experience points to go with that. Outside the core set, yeah, I think this is probably an Elder Sign, although I think you've got to be careful with it. It's I think there's a tendency to look at that and say, I get an additional ally slot. That is amazing. I'm going to play a bunch of allies. And I agree with you guys that you need a plan. And you really need to think about, like, do I really need these two allies on the table at the same time? Or will one ally serve its purpose and then disappear, and then another ally can come in, sort of thing, and save yourself that experience points? Because, yeah, I have ended up in that situation where I have had Charisma regret, you know, a couple scenarios into a campaign where I had this deck concept with a couple of great allies in it, and I thought they were going to be on the table together, and it just hasn't panned out because I'm just not drawing enough cards to get them both on the table, or I don't have enough resources to get them both on the table at the same time. Or the situation just doesn't present itself. And so you can often, sometimes at, you know, mid campaign, you're like, yeah, this could be something else and it would be doing me a lot better. That brings us to the final upgrade and the final player card in all of these reviews. That is Relic Hunter. Again, much like Charisma, it is a permanent. So it starts the game in play, costs you 3 experience points. You have 1 additional accessory slot. I don't think I've ever purchased this card. Largely because I've never really built a deck that has a ton of accessories in it.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Is like we were saying with charisma and how you have to build around it. Relic Hunter is like that to the nth degree,
Yeah.
because most of the time, I feel like accessories kind of do their thing and either go away, sort of like with Disc of Ixomna, or like Holy Rosary to an extent. Like you use that until you need it, and then you kill it off by taking sanity on it. You need a really good reason to include Relic Hunter. I do think there are certain deck builds that can utilize it, but they're pretty few and far between, and they're likely either a Seeker or Mystic, in my opinion, because Mystic has some pretty good accessories that they can upgrade into, and I could see a deck playing like Jewel of Aurelis plus some other accessory. So while there are corner case builds for it, they're not in the core set.
Yeah, it's true. Not in the core set. Yeah, because I wouldn't exactly suggest taking Relic Hunter just so you can take an Elder Sign Amulet and a Holy Rosary. Ugh, that sounds terrible. Relic Hunter, I think, is it's definitely a specialized card for a specialized deck, and that specialized deck is not going to show up until you get a big, a larger collection, and then you have two really powerful accessories that you're going to want to combine, which is not true in the core set. There are a lot of interesting combinations that you can come up with. So I think this is definitely a build around card, you go out there and you say, okay, I'm going to play multiple really powerful accessories and put them in the same deck and use both of them.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
It's I find it kind of odd that they actually added this to the core, the revised core. Maybe because they were adding Essex County, or they were adding Charisma, and both of these cards are from the Essex County Express pack. But they are reprinting the entire Dunwich Legacy player card pool in the Dunwich Legacy Investigator expansion in the new year, and this would have been part of that. And I think it would have been better just reprinted in that than added to the core, the revised core, because yeah, I don't think the deck where this works well in is in the revised core. You can easily play the campaign without this, and probably yeah, it's just not worth the 3 XP, to be honest, in the revised core. Outside the revised core, in certain decks, this is an Elder Sign. Maybe it's a build around. Like maybe this is a bless token, to be honest, because if you're building a deck with a few key accessories, you're going to want this. Outside of that, you'll never look at it. What do you
Yeah,
guys think?
I was gonna give it a blessed token simply for that reason. I have messed around with Relic Hunter quite a bit, actually, particularly in Ursula, because she can find all the relics with all of her Seeker draw power, and she has access to all the relics from all the classes. So you can have all sorts of fun stuff with maybe like double Elder Sign Amulet or a Crystalline Elder Sign. Yeah, not Elder Sign Amulet. Don't do that. But yeah, there's some pretty fun things that you can do with this, and getting +2 to all your stats is certainly up there for me.
I gotta say,
Yeah, this is
Nate, your
totally.
views of Elder Sign Amulet seem to be swinging back and forth from it being amazing to being terrible.
You mean I can have 8 extra sanity soak?
Yes,
I could
there
fail
is a
all the Rotting
significant
Remains
difference
tests.
between the Elder Sign Amulet we were talking about and the Crystalline Elder Sign from it'll appear on the screen, but yeah, it's way
Love
better.
that card. Yeah, this is totally a bless. I mean, you're going to build around it and you're going to have some fun with it, and I am glad that this card is I'm actually glad this card is in the revised core, because if you have this and like any cycle but Dunwich, you're going to want to have Charisma and Relic Hunter to be able to do interesting builds. Yeah, this is a bless token.
Yeah, I think it was revelatory, but yeah, it's a blessed token. This is something you're going to build around, and once your card pool expands, you get some cool accessories, start to see some synergies between them. You can build that deck, but yeah, I don't think this is not something you're going to be buying in your core set campaigns, and this is a treat for later. That's going to do it for our look at the neutral upgrades, and this is going to wrap up our review of all the player cards in the revised core set. Any final thoughts on the upgrades or the revised core in general?
You know, I think as a whole, I think the revised core set does a really good job of showing enough of the game to not only make it interesting, but to make it fairly easy to get into and start exploring possible deck building options, especially within the revised core set. I think if you had bought the original core set, you'd be sorely disappointed in that regard. But with the revised core set, having enough copies of all the cards to start tinkering around with deck building is really great. And I think they did a pretty good job, I think, overall with the selected upgrades that they made with the revised core set. I think Lockpicks, Rite of Seeking, Eucatastrophe, I've Had Worse, Old Book of Lore. These are all pretty good choices for upgrades for the investigators in the core set.
Also, I will say that if you, viewer, are new to the game and you have made it this far and you've watched every single one of these videos, that's good. You've just leveled up your Arkham Horror knowledge. I gotta say, you've probably learned a lot from all these videos.
Yeah,
good job.
It's been several hours worth of reviews. Yeah, I'd agree with you, Nate. I think that the revised core set does a lot more right than it does wrong. Just the fact that you're getting a full play set of cards is a huge improvement over the original core set. The problem with the original core was basically once you finished with the starter decks, there was really no place to go. You couldn't build new decks per se. You could tinker around the edges a little bit, but there was no real card choices to be made. The revised core gives you a few more options to play around with, so you can build a couple different decks and play either solo or in multiplayer and have some success in those early campaigns. I think there's enough. The cards that are available in the revised core are definitely enough to be able to at least complete the Knight of the Zealot campaign and have some success. The scenarios do ramp up pretty high in difficulty. We talked a little bit about that. Not necessarily if we talked about it in the review, but you know, the gathering is sort of is like taking a light stroll through the forest, and then all of a sudden you hit the midnight masks and you are the game gets serious all of a sudden, and then the devourer below ups the ante even more. But I do think there are tools in the revised core to help you to navigate that campaign, as well as give you some really good building blocks as your card pool expands, especially the neutral skills. I think the designers really hit the nail on the head there. And while there are some dubious choices among the upgrades, things like Mind Wipe and Aquina that are probably a little too complicated and specialized for new players to get to wrap their heads around, there are also some staples like Lockpicks now that are just good and solid and will do what new players need them to do to improve their game. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.